As I said earlier, she's from our sister church in De Tijger in Tigerberg, and it's really a massive privilege. I've heard half of her testimony through her husband's testimony lately, and some of you might have watched it on Shofar TV as well. Wow, what an inspirational story. And this is the woman behind the story to a big degree. So it's a really big privilege for us to just hear from you today, and enjoy it.
You just got to excuse me. I'm so emotional. It's just... oh, my word. I want to ask you to just be a little bit uncomfortable. Please move forward. Please come. Just come forward. This is such a great moment just to be intimate with each other. Just come. Let's just... I know it's really like challenging sometimes for people. It's us, we have the same thing at church. People tend to find, we put the chairs out and everyone goes and gathers chairs at the back and puts them at the back. And I'm thinking, come sit here. As we were worshiping, I just want to first say to you, it was a really privilege to be here. Guys, thank you so much to Tiff and Edna for inviting us, or inviting me. A couple of weeks ago, Estelle phoned me and she says, Cynthia, can you just go preach at Table View? And I didn't answer her because I had been going through a couple of things, and I'm thinking, oh my word, I can't be a hypocrite. I'm a person that believes that the Spirit of God needs to do the work. I'm going to be honest with you, it's not me that does this stuff. I really don't. I'm incapable of doing it, but it's the Spirit of God that makes me capable of bringing a message to you guys. And so when Christelle said to me, Jacinta, you know, I said to just give me a moment, you know, just find someone for the meantime. And for them, they were like, okay, they're on standby. And then God just brought me such a revelation within myself, in my spirit. And it is true. What's the guy that sang? What's his name? Petri. He made something so significant. He said, who reads their Bible? And I was like, I spent time with God. And God was saying, you know what? Not enough. And you must keep that. And I know that's challenging for a lot of people because you challenge them. And it's great. And you must keep on with that. That's what it is. The Word of God is very challenging for most people. And so when Christelle said to me that I needed to preach, I just couldn't. It was just, my heart was in the right place. And I thought, I can't be a hypocrite. I can't stand and say, oh, Jesus. And my heart was just struggling with a couple of things. And breakthrough really started coming through when God starts going through the Word with me, with the woman. And I'm like, Lord, just show me. Show me who I am. And you know we are. We just need to be real. That's what God has been speaking to Jay and I about. Being authentic. Just be real. Because, you know, out of realness, God comes and makes healing. Just be open. You know, I remember when Jay and I, go look at Shofar TV. It's not about us at all. But when we were going through a lot of marriage problems, Jay had become a drug addict, and it was just really crazy. We had to go through marriage counseling, so we had to refine ourselves again. And there's one thing in Mac and Ordine, you can ask them that. They can ask anybody else. I said, if you ever found anyone who was just spoke it out. When we sat in front of them, we didn't have the normal conversation, but everyone comes to see the Germany and the German, it's a Frau. That's all ordentlich. They actually don't say anything. We said, just please be real. Say it as you feel. Don't pretend. Say it as you feel. And Jay and I always believe that you must just say what you feel, because God wants to come and restore you in the very place that you are at. Don't pretend. Because you won't have freedom in that area. You'll go around the mountain continuously. God will keep bringing you back until you open up your eyes. And so when Christelle, then what happened was is that Jay got really ill this last week, and it's just been really bad. Then I got it on Thursday, the tummy bug, and it was just crazy. And I'm like, really, just before awaken, hello? And then I got a message that morning. And then all of a sudden, within the time I was reading the Word, and God showed me the ladies, and, you know, the women in the book, and I'm just going through all the stuff, I thought, I really want to preach or awaken. And God just started coming through and just healing. And Christelle sent me a message on Thursday morning. She says, I believe, please reconsider. And I'm like, yes, okay, I'll do it. So it was great. But then I got ill, and then I said to Chris, just tell the chief just to be on standby. But then I thought to myself on Friday when I woke up in the morning, I thought, Lord, I just really want to get awake, and I just want to go. I just want to worship. I just want to let it out. And it's like I was saying to Ian, it's one of those moments. I just want to lie back and just, yeah, let the Spirit of the Lord do his work with me. And so Jay says, are you feeling well? Even the kids were like, Mom, are you okay to go? I'm like, get your vat, basket then, let's go. And I was on such a high, and I wrapped, I thought to myself, no, I'm not going to allow the enemy to rob me from the very thing that God wants to do something in people's lives. It wasn't actually about me. I love just looking at people and interacting with people because I know that it's exactly that. We all have beautiful stories that are God breathed because we are created by the Ruach, breath of God. He spoke that word over you guys, and you're created by the King. And it's just so glorious just to be in the presence of the Lord, and God just really did an amazing work this weekend. I experienced stuff. I saw women. You know, who went to awaken, by the way? Where were you, the rest of the ladies? Wat gaan aan? We'll talk to you. I'll talk to you later. We'll pray for you. You'll be there next year. I'll suss you out. if you had awakened, there were a couple of pessimists, and that's what about the beautiful story. And I believe, and this is what I said to the Lord, it's good to bring a testimony. It is good. It encourages people. But the Lord just says, you know what? I am your greatest story. Let's just get back to basics. Let's get back to the foundations. Who is the story always about? And he was just saying, it's about me. It's not about you. It's about me. And I'm going, okay, Lord, I'll hang on to that one. But before we start, while we were worshiping, when you say someone must bring a word, I just always sort of let the congregation really allow the Spirit of God to come. Don't be afraid. And a lot of times you think, is it this? Is it that? Is it this? And you know what? You'll know. Come up and don't be bold to bring that word because it's not for you, really. Sometimes it's for you, but sometimes it's for someone specific in the congregation. And you're just robbing them from hearing that. And so I do it. You know what? I always say, this is a great amount of people. Because let me tell you something, you are dedicated to come to church in the morning. God has got something to do with you. You need to, and I want to tell you this as a church, then sit on your bums and just receive. Your job is to go out into the world, to your neighbors, and to bring the gospel to them. And they need to come to church. They have to come to church. You must invite people to come to church. If you are excited about the Lord, invite them. We challenge Jay and I are very challenging. You can ask any of our congregations if they meet people at a holiday resort. Ah, we check congregation. No, we enjoy Jay and Jacinda. They really stretch us. You push those 10 pegs like that way. Why? Because we want to see you grow. You have to grow. You can't stay in one place. You mustn't. And I always say to people, I say to my leaders, how long has this been going on in the church? And they like say, oh no, it's the same for a while now. Why? Because if you're excited about God, you go invite people. You tell them, you want to know everything about Jesus. Let me tell you something. Share who Christ is with the person at the teller. Share people. Share your testimony. Share whatever it is with people. Get excited about the Lord. Because I'll tell you something, because that's what people want. You are so afraid of people to say, oh man, I don't want to hear that. Let me tell you, they want to hear it. They want to hear it. So I want to encourage you this morning. And this is a word I want to bring to you. Then I'm going to get to you. Because I really feel like Matthew 20, I'm going to really skip. This is what happens with me. God says, prepare, and then I just go as the word of God says, and yes, I just do it. But before we start, I really want to pray for over this congregation. There's really a special presence of the Lord here. And don't look at the small beginnings. Just always vision. See where you're going. Don't worry about what you see in front of you. Don't look, because I know people walking in and think, oh, yeah, I see. Don't look at that. Jesus had 12 disciples. He had a lot of followers, a lot of disciples. He ended up with 12. And let me tell you, those guys did awesome stuff. But it took a lot of sacrifice. I know it's difficult to set up. I know it is difficult to get up in the morning and do this. And Jay and I have been doing it for 22 months. We've been in Joburg for almost 2 years. We get up early in the morning, Saturday morning. My kids set up. It's an act of service, and we do it to teach people. This is what we do. Exactly thing. We are not just pastors. We are servants also to our congregation. We need to teach them what it is to serve. and you need to serve in your church. Serve in your church. Serve your pastors. Help them. They need help. If you just have an inclination of what the pressures that they go through, and I know that we have Christ within us, but we're also people, we also feel, we also know. I'm telling you, as a congregation, you need to support your pastors. Love them. Support them. Always ask them, what can I do for you? Because they need that. And I promise you, it is a massive help. Do that. Support your pastors. Okay, let's pray. Let's just leave it in the Lord's hands. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity that, Lord, that I could just come and just share my heart, Lord. But most of all, Lord, I know that it is not me. It will never be me, Lord, that it's your Holy Spirit that leads and guides. Father, I know that, Lord, that you have so much work to do with us, Lord. And we just really, we come in the sanctuary, Lord. We come before you. We kneel down before you, Lord. And we just say, Holy Spirit, come and speak to us and just take full control. We submit our lives before you. We submit, Lord. We surrender. Father, we surrender our thoughts. We surrender our ways. We surrender everything that comes against you, Lord. We bring our hearts that are stone before you so that we can become hearts of flesh, so that you can mold us, that you can just take all that dross out of us, Lord, so that we can become worthy vessels for your kingdom, Lord. Father, I just want to bless this congregation, Lord. I want to bless them. Father, that you will become the lamp upon their feet and the light unto their paths. Father, you just want to do so much. I said to you yesterday, I'm tired of the norm. I want to see the kingdom of God come. I want to see people to get excited about who you are. I want to see the lame walk. I want to see the blind see. I want to see people just glorifying your name in spirit and in truth. Not just a lip service, Lord, but to serve you with all of their hearts, with all of their minds, with all of their strength. Today I'm a real girl. Anyway, Matthew 20, verse 29-33. It's the last slides right at the end. Okay, yeah, sharp. Okay, it says here, now, as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, exactly what you were saying, there you are. Jesus. That spoke. Jesus. He says, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude, listen to this. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more. Let's just stop right there. You know, so you must understand, you know, these two blind men, Jesus is busy coming into Jericho. The multitude, everyone's just crowding up and they're shouting out, Jesus of Nazareth, he's coming. And these two blind men they're hearing the rustle and the bustle. And if you close your eyes, and you can just imagine these two guys sitting over there, and they're hearing something happening, the atmosphere is changing, and they're hearing something, and they're saying, it's Jesus, and they're like, he's coming, and you know what, they understood something. They understood something that the others didn't understand. They were just welcoming the man that they just saw the good stuff. Hey, yay, here comes Jesus, yeah. But these blind men started getting excited, and because they identified, they knew this is the Messiah. This is Jesus. He's, yeah. And they started crying out, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. And you know what the crowds did? Shh, 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 shh. Just be quiet. quiet. You're making a noise. You just shush you there. You just be quiet. And you know what they did? This is what it is. It said, then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more. They kept on giving, just be quiet, blind man. Who are you? Just be quiet. You can't see anything what's happening here. And they kept on. And this is exactly what people do to us, even Christians. When you are worshiping, don't be quiet. The voices in your head, the people next to you that sit like this, if you, in your heart, you want to scream out, what stops you? Those people are stopping you. They're stopping you from something, to receive something. They're stopping you from receiving something. And it says, yeah, then they shouted out, then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out even more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And that's exactly what it is. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. I love this analogy. I'm a picture person. As soon as I start reading, I see, right? You know, the way they dress and the sand and the sandals. And I go back into age. I really do. I'm like one of those old girls. And when I'm reading this, I could picture these blind men and the people trying to keep them quiet. I'm thinking that's exactly what people want to do. They want to keep us quiet. The world wants to keep us quiet. Even Christians, they say they're Christians, want to keep us quiet. Oh, you're just super spiritual. Why do you want to dance? Why do you want to shout? Why do you want to scream out? Why do you want to get so passionate? You're just like overboard. Am I playing it right? Am I not talking right? It is. It's true. It's a fact. People are so scared to just express themselves because they're so scared what the next person's going to say. And this is why I love the scripture. These blind men understood something. They wanted healing. They wanted God to come. Irrespective of what the people around them, and this is what it is. You want your eyes to open? Shout out. Cry out. Irrespective of who's around you. Shout out. Shout out. Even in, I always call them my shower moments. When I sit in the shower and I'm alone, I'm like, God, do something. Yeah. And I cry out to the Lord. We need to cry out. We need to cry out. It was a massive, it was huge stretch for our congregation because there were, and I always sort of say, I don't know, this sounds, okay. It's almost like a charismatic Inkerkerk. And I know it sounds spread and I've got nothing to do with it. I've got no issues with the Inkerkerk in the sense. I'm just saying, they're just so scared to express themselves about what they said. No, we're going to worship God, we're going to worship Him. I want your eyes to be open. Not because I'm trying to make you uncomfortable. I want your eyes to be open so that you can see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords changing things in your life that you never thought He could change. So we have that perspective that it's a lie from the devil. He's a liar and he's a deceiver and he's come to seek, steal, and destroy your joy, your life, and the very purpose that God has called you. That's what he has come to do. And this is why these blind men, they couldn't care. They couldn't be bothered. And guess what? They were the only two that their eyes were that they could see spiritually. They understood it was. The rest of the crowd, think about how many people just wave. Let's just wave. Let's say, hey, Jesus. But two people understood who he was and their eyes were opened. Think about how many people's eyes were closed to the truth of Christ that's walking in. And that's the same thing. Hold on to that. And this is just a word for you. Hold on to that. Be the people that shout out, Jesus come, Son of David. Jesus come and heal us. Let us see. Let us hear. Let us be aware when you are coming so that you will receive the very thing that God wants to do in your life. Don't allow it. Please don't allow it. Be different. Just do it. It's a challenge. Absolutely. I was a Roman Catholic. We were just used to I don't even know why I was doing that. I should have thought it was a good exercise session. But, no, really, it's I know it's a challenge, but when the Lord comes and the Spirit of God sits upon you, and when He starts speaking to you, be obedient to it. Just be obedient to it. So I always listen to everything that God says to me, and I'll tell you a story. Yesterday I was just worshiping, and there was this woman behind me in a wheelchair. And I love Smith Wigglesworth. I love Catherine Kuhlman. I'm like, Lord, I'm like, man, when I read that, I'm like, yeah, it's so awesome. I love it. I just want to go and yell, you know. And so in my heart, no, I'm really serious. It's like that. It really is like that. And in my heart, the Lord was saying, God, pray for that girl in the wheelchair. First thought is, yeah, you know, it's the same thing over again. We pray for people, hallelujah, and nothing happens. Really? I'm just winning. And as I'm going, the Lord just said, you better just go lay your hands on me. I go to now, and I look at this girl, and my heart just breaks. I'm thinking, she just wants a normal life. She just wants, I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking, look at me, look at her. And I said, can I pray for you? And she just looked at me, and I started praying for her, and she just started singing. And as I was praying for her, I just felt this immense compassion for her. And I think of Jesus, my God, compassionate He was for Lazarus. And as I laid my hands on her, and I thought, Lord, come, I can't do it. You do the work. I'm just the vessel. Come and do the work. Let your name be glorified. In any case, I finished and I felt, okay, now I go to the front. I just worship, I just left it as that. Yesterday, oh my word, worship, really, worship was so awesome. It was incredible. And then the Lord said, can I pray for her again? Really? If she's behind me, I will. Okay. So off I go, and I look at her, she just looked at me, and I said, I need to pray for you again. And I sat and I started getting, and I felt I was getting a little bit more bolder this time. You know, I haven't got it all right yet, but it'll come. And I went over her and I touched her chest and I started praying for her body and I started touching her legs. And I said, and that song would make her legs strong, make those bones strong, make her arms strong, Lord, make her spine strong, Lord, let her walk. I want to see her walk. And then God shows me a picture of taking her hands and dancing with her. Lord, that's what I want. And I wanted to take her hands, and I was bung. I was thinking, imagine if I pick her up and you in the chair again. And I was like, I don't want to be devastated, Lord. And what I'm saying is, you don't always get it right, but act on it. You're talking about Logos and Rhema. Do you know, in the Hebrew, Logos and Rhema were actually one if it's together. It's just the Greeks that come and change Logos to Rhema. It's like the written word and understanding. But the Jews understood. As soon as they read the word and they understood it, they acted upon it immediately. They didn't wait for the revelation just to say, this is true, I've got to do it. And that's what we find very difficult to do. And so this is what I want to bring to you as a congregation. Be like those two blind men. You are blinded. We are. In many ways, we are blinded. But shout out. Cry out. And I'll tell you something. The Lord will open your eyes. And that we will step out in boldness. I'm trusting God for that. That I will step out in boldness. I'll put my tackies on with the pink, to the strap that you saw. So the whole point is that that's what it is. But Jenny, I'm also from Joburg. And we which church were you at? Okay, so you know Greg Garrett. Yes, we know him very well, and Johannes Lapiskachny and all of them. Yes, we served under them for a while. So I thought, Jenny, Edenvale, a little light came on. I think as a congregation, we're going to pray for you today. I really feel that we need to step up in boldness. I know you're sick, or you have some sort of health problems. You know what, Jenny, it's I want to look at you. Because God has got a plan for you. He has had it all along. It says in 1 Psalm 39 that He has written your name in the book of life. He has written all the days of your life there already for you. You just need to go and grab it. There's a purpose for every single one of us, and He wants you to take that. And we're going to trust today that you're going to get healed. We're going to trust. We need to believe it. It's not just a matter of trusting. We're going to believe it. And this is what's nice about a small group like this, because it starts with this. See, God will start growing you when your confidence and your obedience starts happening, because then you're going out, and then you just start doing things, and people just like, wow, okay, these people are really just, they love the Lord. And we're going to, you are going to be the one we are going to pray for, and we're going to trust God to touch you in such an amazing way. You will never be the same, Jenny. You can't. When Jesus comes, when He touches, He transforms. He doesn't do little half measures. He doesn't just, you know, do one leg or whatever. He does the whole thing. He completes. When we get saved, we don't get half saved. I don't believe that. When you get saved, He saves. When you turn away from your old life and you move forward, you don't ever look back to that. That's passed away. Okay. So guys, we're going to practice this. We're going to pray. And please, who are your quiet ones? Who's your quiet ones? Who are your introverts? I know. I'll tell you. Let me tell you something. I want to show you something. I want to just let you know something. Normally the quiet ones are the discerning ones. You know that. They listen to every little thing that people say. You want to know something? Go to your quiet ones. I'm talking all the time. So I know exactly who in my congregation I can go up to and say, so listen, tell me something. What's happening over there? And it's just what it is. So who's the quiet ones? Boom. Let's come. We're going to pray, and we're all going to lay hands on her. And I want you guys to please trust the Lord, yeah. We're going to start praying in tongues. We're going to trust the Lord, and we wait upon Him. Wait upon Him, irrespective. Okay, we need to learn to wait upon the Lord. We're not talking about ourselves, yeah. This is fleshy. And I'm telling you now, I'm not worried about this, whatever the case may be. We want to do God's work, yeah. I want to see His name be glorified. I want to see His name be risen up. I want people to walk at you thinking, where am I going? I want to lay hands on you. Or I just want to, you know, Jesus, you know. It really is. And when you start becoming bold, I tell you something. People actually, I think the darkness just like, people walk away from you in certain places. I find those people. Jenny, I want you to get up, please. Come. And if there's anybody here who's not reborn, I want you to watch and see what the Lord is going to do. Okay? Do I need to sing and say, rise up? Come and lay your hands. Come. Let's go. Hello, Mother, sorry. I said to Christelle, you robbed my story. I said, I don't know what I'll preach on tomorrow, but it's a bit different. But I want you to go and read. It is really an amazing, and I know I said that, I just really felt that it's beautiful stories are God breathed. I just saw how God took Israel, Exodus man, Israel out of Egypt. And when God did that, I mean, do you know how many people there were? It was like over 2 million people. That's a lot of people to take out of a place. And they go to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea opens. You know the whole story. But there's something very significant that God says to them. He says to Moses, now you will build for me a memorial. Living stones, right? You will build for me a memorial so that your descendants will ask, well, what is this all about? And they said, you know what happened here? This is what God did in my life. Jenny, today God has just started a memorial in your life. You're going to plant a memorial where one day you're going to look back and you're going to be reminded of it. And this is the reason why. We don't go through hardships. The enemy comes and brings hardships and trials and tribulations because we are Christian and we're going to get it, irrespective. You must understand that. When Jan, I bring people, when people want to come to the Lord, we lay the foundation. I said, this is serious stuff. If we proclaim Jesus is King, there's no place for lukewarmness. You either run, or rather just do what you want to do. It's actually better. The Word of God says that. Rather be cold or you be hot. And this is where, Jenny, that it's amazing. And it's for all of us. We've all built memorials in our lives. And God keeps on reminding me. And one day I hope I come to share the testimony of the day that we were held up by 7 men and how God came. It was incredible. It was such a memorial. I keep getting taken back to that when I feel like, oh God, where are you? He says, no, go back to that memorial that you built, just to remind you of what I am and who I am. God is busy building memorials in your lives. He's busy in your lives. And the story of Elizabeth and Zacharias, it's just incredible. It's not just about the women, it's also the men. I know, it's go read it. It's just so beautiful and about the coming of the Lord and how God prepared just ordinary women that really, you know, everyone thinks, oh, I'm carrying John and I'm carrying Jesus. Let me tell you something. Those women went through persecution. In those times, a woman that was barren, it was that God cursed them. That's what they believed. And that's why she hid for 6 months when she was pregnant. She couldn't believe it because for her it was a shame. But you know what? Her husband and Zacharias, I mean, for a man not to have to have children, it's like a... It feels terrible for them. And I'm sure it is. The man always feels, I can't give my wife a child. And I think the day that Zacharias was in the Holy of Holies, and I'm sure he said, Lord, please, I'm sure he pleaded with God. And when the day the angel came and said to him, you're going to have a son, I was thinking, oh, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, there was no medication those times. It was just Holy Spirit, you're going to have a child, you know. And Elizabeth, she was like, what? I don't think so, my friend. Ain't going to happen. He says, oh, God said it's going to happen. And it happened. So it is possible. There's so much awesome stuff. And I love the characters. I love the beauty of what their hearts were like. And I love Zacharias. He's just a faithful man. And she was an obedient woman, and she knew that this is going to be the people were going to talk. Mary was a young girl, she was 13. Think of 13. I mean, my son, I have a 15-year-old son, and I think if imagine him being a dad, and like, no, you know, yeah, like, maybe no. But 13 years old, yeah, she was a poor girl, like you were saying, exactly the same. Yeah, she was a poor girl, she wasn't intellected, she wasn't whatever it is. Irrespective if you're black or you're white or you're pink or you're blue or you're clever, you're not clever, whatever the case may be, you think God will use you. He used Mary because her heart was right. She believed the scriptures that were written 400 years ago. They believed that. They just believed it. And when the angel came to Mary, there was something so beautiful. Please go read it. I'm asking you, just go read it. It's just so beautiful. I just want to read this piece. I didn't write it yet. What Mary says, and I hope that every woman over here will say this, says, because she says to the Lord, how is this possible? I haven't been with a man. And in those times, you get ridiculed if you are pregnant before you're married. And Joseph could have left her. But his integrity and the love that he had for her, and just believing when God said to her, you know, it's a spirit that's going to impregnate her, that he stayed with her. And we always look at the girl side, but the guy side was also amazing. It's such a beautiful, just the way all things came together. And it says here, I love this, it's Luke 1. Go read the whole of Luke with Mary and Elizabeth. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. And then he says, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. That's what Mary said. Let it be to me according to your word. She understood what she's going to go through here. The trials and tribulations we're going to go through, but God wanted to birth something so awesome through a story, because this is an amazing story. It's a truth God be story, that he would use somebody as so-called insignificant to society to bring forth the Son of God. And she understood that. So this is what it is. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. You have Christ living within you. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You're going to go through trials and tribulations. You're going, your family, your friends, your work people are going to, really, they're going to come down on you. But let me tell you something. God wants to birth something. And that is exactly the same with Mary. She went through those tribulations. People were, you know, what were you busy with? And carrying on. But she just carried on. She pursued it. She kept going. She didn't look back. And this is exactly the same thing. Ladies, if you feel that you cannot go anymore, think of Mary. She didn't look back. She knew she had to go through it because there was something significant that was going to happen. She was going to be the Messiah, the Son of God, the one that was going to come and save the world. So guess what? We have the living God with you. There's a purpose why you are saved. Because he wants to accomplish something. He wants to end the story. And we are part of that amazing story. So we have a generation that we have to teach that they can continue with the story. Don't stop now. Don't give up. Wherever you are at, don't give up. God knows exactly what you're going through. I think a lot of people think when they come to the Lord, and this is just such a sad point, they think that when you come to the Lord, everything's going to be just fine. I'm going to be just so blessed. No, you are blessed. But through those trials and tribulations, that's when you're blessed. Because when you see God move, you know, it ain't me. It's something so supernatural going before me. I would never be standing here. I would never. I promise you, if you knew me many years ago, my poor mother and my father prayed for me, even in the Hail Marys and the whatever case, shame. They really prayed for me because I was so rejected. I had a self-image problem. It was relationship over one relationship over the next, over the next, 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 next. And I was like that Samaritan woman. Jesus came to the well and he says, do you want life or do you want death? And this is what God's saying to you today. Do you want life or do you want death? We're speaking intercession. Do you want living bread? Because he'll give it to you. He will give you. He tells Israel, just pick up enough for today. Don't pick up for tomorrow. Just pick enough for today. Because I know today has its own problems. But pick up the manna, the fresh manna that God has got. He's got it every day for you. And just as much as they got bored with that same old manna, let me tell you something. It's refreshing. That God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He will never change. You might change, but he will never change. He doesn't walk away from you. You walk away from God. So if you're sitting in a place, come to God. He says, if you seek me, you will find me. If you knock, I'll open that door for you. You won't just shut it and be like we are. Close the door. No, he opens that door because, and he welcomes you because he's a merciful God. But there's one thing I want to leave with you. Be obedient. Repent. That's what John the Baptist comes to bring. Repent. Turn away from whatever you're busy with. Stop it. And just give your all to Christ. You don't have to do anything. Just submit before the throne room and he will lead you. The Holy Spirit was there to lead us, to teach us, to guide us, to comfort us, to show us. if you're going to the Word of God and you say, I don't know any of this stuff. You know what? None of us did. How did we learn? We just learn because you just come before God and He just opens the Word of God and you just say, Holy Spirit, I have no cooking clue what you're saying in Leviticus or in whatever the case may be. Really, you know what, I can tell you something. If you really want to, He will show you. And when He opens this Word of God to you, it's like a revelation to you. It opens up and you're just like, oh my word. And then you want to share it with everybody else. It's like with you. You came and you showed something so amazing. It's exciting for you. That's why you shared it. And you think, oh, I'm going to read more because there's more about the scarlet thread. There's so much about the mercy seat. There's so much about all these things. If you're the crimson tide, all these things, they're so significant to everything that the Word of God says. And I really trust that you as a congregation be a praying congregation. Be part of your intercession. That is where the heart of the church starts. Intercession. Pray for your pastors. They have to make massive decisions. Love them. Cherish them. Really. And I think you guys are an awesome congregation. I like the smiles. Always tell people, smile, please. But yeah, I just want to close up in prayer. And if anybody else really, if you need prayer, and pray for one another. Husbands, pray for your wives. And the last thing, we all got letters last night from our husbands. It was snot and trana for me. I was in the car. I know my husband loves me and everything else, but when I saw it the other day, I cried. I was so emotional all the way home, and I opened the door, my husband lying there waiting for me with the espresso. So I look. And he looked at me, he says, what's wrong? I said, I can't believe I have you. He's like, what? I'm like, I can't believe what you wrote here. That's why it touched me. It touched me so. And it reminded me, and this is such a beautiful thing. If you go read how God brings Eve to Adam. Think about it. That is exactly what happens when we get married. We get dressed up as the bride. And our Father represents God, and God brings us to our husbands. And I just saw that. It just reminded me. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for my husband. Men, thank you for your wives. You're helping me. She's cherished. She's loved. Love her with everything that you have. Jesus says, you will die for her. You must die for her. And same way, woman, love your husbands. Cherish them. Look at them and just thank God for them, irrespective. Life-changing. I prayed for my husband at times that we were really bad in bad situations. I wanted to slap him with my hand. Now God says, pray for him. I don't want to pray for him. I want to hit him. I want to take the book and hit him over. God says, you better stop praying for him. And God changed my heart. And prayer works. That's why I say intercession is very important. You need to stop being a praying church. And I promise you, you don't have to do anything. God will bring the people. But you need to be excited about God and to tell people about Christ. Okay. That brought the deal. Okay. Let's close our eyes and let's close off. Father, I just want to thank you for today. I want to thank you that your Holy Spirit is just doing a mighty work in this church. I want to thank you that, Lord, that you have just placed the right people with Edna and Retief, Lord. What a wonderful, awesome family and what a wonderful congregation. Lord, I just want to bless them in the name of Jesus. May the Lord face shine upon you guys, and may his peace and his countenance remain with you. May he give you wisdom. May you be discerning to where you are going. May he give you visions. And those who are here, may you be well planted, rooted in the Word of God as well as in your church. Have compassion for one another. Serve one another. Serve God with everything that you have. Father, I thank you for the healings that are taking place in this church. Whether it's body, mind, or spirit, Father, that they will be like the blind people, that they will stand up and they'll say, Lord, remove the scales of my eyes so we can see you for who you are. That you will transform us daily to be more and more like you. Because you are holy, we need to be holy. Father, I want to thank you for this morning. I thank you for the liberty that we have in you. I thank you, Father, for Jenny that has joined with Tiffany. I know that she'll be a blessing unto you guys. And I just want to say thank you for having me. Thank you for receiving me so wonderfully and warmly. And I really, it would be awesome. Jan, I would definitely want to come and visit you guys with our kids and just to share again with you guys at some point. Bless you and have an awesome, most powerful day. May you be rejuvenated and you go home and be like just completely in awe of what God is going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.